You're listening to a podcast from Gateway Baptist Church, leading people to become fully devoted followers of Jesus. If you'd like to join us or find out more, visit gatewaybaptist.com.au.
This morning? Do you believe that Jesus was the Son of God and that he died on a Roman cross 2,000 years ago to forgive your sin, and he rose from the dead on the third day to make a way for you to have an eternal relationship with God? Do you believe that? Because if you believe that, you believe in miracles. It's the miracle of salvation. You know, the dictionary actually has a reasonable definition of a miracle. It says an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. You know, a miracle is when God intervenes into our human situation. And as we read through the Bible, we see lots of miracles. We see that God is a God of miracles. We see right from the very beginning, you know, the miracle of creation, where God simply spoke into nothing and created. And when Jesus turns up, he simply speaks to the wind and the waves, and they obey him. You know, we see miracles of healing. Both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, people were struck down with sicknesses and diseases, and God healed with a touch. God healed with a word. Jesus went from village to village, you know, healing the sick. We see miracles of provision. There's times when people didn't have enough to eat, didn't have enough to provide for their family themselves, and God made manna rain down from heaven day after day after day, miracle after miracle. We even see miracles of resurrection, when life was dead and buried, and God spoke to what was dead and brought it back to life. You know, Jesus spoke to Lazarus in the tomb for days and brings him back to life. I'd say many of us here in this room, we believe in the miracle of salvation. Many of us here in this room and online with us this morning believe in the miracle of salvation, and we believe in the miracles in the Bible. We believe that God's a God of miracles. But maybe many of us would also echo the words of a dad who desperately needed healing for his son. And Jesus said to him, "Everything is possible for those who believe." And the Father's reply is maybe a little like our reply this morning. "I believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. I believe that you are a God of miracles, but help me overcome my unbelief that you could do a miracle right before my eyes, that you could do a miracle today." Can I just remind us today, it's okay to pray that prayer. "God, I believe you're a God of miracles, but help me to overcome my unbelief." Maybe pray this prayer that's up on the screen right now. I think it's going to be on the screen right now. We may need a miracle, but if we could get that prayer. There we go. It simply says, "God, I believe you're a God of miracles. Help me overcome my unbelief that you can do miracles today." If that's your prayer, whether you're online or here in the room, why don't we just pray that prayer together? Why don't we say it out loud? "God, I believe you are a God of miracles. Help me overcome my unbelief that you can do miracles today." Amen. Amen. You know, one of the reasons that many of us need prayer, need help from God to overcome our unbelief that God could do a miracle today is because we believed and we prayed for a miracle in the past and it didn't happen. Can I also say that too is in the Bible? Where people have seen a miracle at one time and then at another time, they asked for it and it didn't happen. You know, John the Baptist, he saw some miracles. He was a dude who served God faithfully. In fact, he made incredible sacrifices for God. He wore itchy clothes out in the desert. He ate locusts and he preached a message that a lot of people didn't want to hear. Repent! You know, you're a bunch of sinners. Repent, turn back to God. He made incredible sacrifices for God. He served God and he saw God show up in miraculous power. You know, he was there baptizing Jesus in the River Jordan when heaven opened up and the Spirit of God descended like a dove onto Jesus. And they heard the audible voice of God say, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." It's a pretty defining moment. It's a moment just seeing, you know, the miraculous power of God. And yet a few months later, John is in prison. And he kind of hears the story of Jesus doing all these miracles and he's seen the miraculous power of God at work in Jesus' life. And yet he's rotting in prison. And so he sends his disciples back to Jesus because he's starting to deal with doubt. Just like some of us when we get into difficult situations, he's beginning to have doubts even though he heard the voice of God, saw heaven open up and declare this is the Son of God. He sends his disciples back to Jesus to find out if he really is the real deal. Is he really the one? And this is what Jesus says to him. Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." And so John's seen the miraculous power of God. He's hearing stories of the miraculous power of God. Jesus is continuing to do miracles, and yet John is left to rot in jail. And Jesus says, "Do not stumble, even when the miracle doesn't arrive, because you'll be blessed if you hold on to your faith." Paul, he saw a few miracles. You know, the very beginning of his journey with Jesus, he's riding his horse down the road to downtown Damascus, and the risen Jesus knocks him off his horse. I mean, this is a miraculous salvation. Hears the voice of God, sees the power of God, hears the call of God. And then Paul goes around, once again, he's faithful. He goes around, you know, preaching the message of Jesus in places that didn't want him. It was an unpopular message to walk into these hostile cities and preach the gospel. And he found himself getting locked up in prison time and time again. And sometimes, you know the stories, they're the one we celebrate all the time. God showed up in power and a miracle happened and the doors of the jail flung open. And Paul escapes from prison in record time. But there's other times that kind of aren't, we don't see kind of portrayed quite as dramatically in the New Testament. But there was times Paul was in prison for so long that he writes half the New Testament. And God didn't turn up and miraculously set him free. And everywhere he went, God is using him to do miracles. In Acts chapter 19, verse 11, it says that God did amazing miracles through Paul. Even people took his apron and his hanky and laid it on the bodies of sick people and people that were demon-possessed and they were healed and set free. Come on, just put your hand up if you're a hanky holder. Come on, just give me a wave if you've got a hanky in your pocket. I stopped carrying a hanky in grade two. I just couldn't see the joy of putting snot back in your pocket. I don't want to do it. But for all you hanky holders, good on you. Paul too was a hanky holder. And we don't know how much snot was on his hanky. But people were taking it and putting it on the sick people and they were getting healed. That's a pretty amazing miracle. And yet Paul finds himself crying out to God for a miracle. 2 Corinthians 12, it says that, you know, Paul had this thorn in the flesh. And we're not entirely sure whether it's a physical sickness or whether it's some other, you know, affliction that Paul is walking through. And he's crying out to God for God to take that thorn in the flesh from him. He's crying out to God for a miracle. But this time, the hanky has no power. And the miracle doesn't turn up. And this is what it says in 2 Corinthians 12. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul is suffering, and the miracle didn't arrive, and the grace of God was enough for him. See, mature faith, this is important for us, church. Mature faith is when the miracle of grace is sufficient, when the miracle we want doesn't come. Mature faith. Faith that'll bring a blessing if we do not stumble and fall away, because what we wanted to happen doesn't happen, is when the miracle of grace is sufficient, when the miracle that we want doesn't arrive. God is mysterious. There's much mystery surrounding the miracle power of God. And if there was no mystery, God would cease to be God. If we could fully work out, you know, who God was and, you know, exactly how and why he did everything that he did, he would cease to be God. There's always going to be mystery in God. We won't always understand. Sometimes, and we don't know why, sometimes in our weakness, his power is at work in us in different ways. There's lots we don't understand about miracles, but there's some things that we do know and we can rely on. I want us to take hold of them today. Firstly, miracles are motivated by loving compassion for people in need. Let me just look at one of Jesus' miracles today, Mark chapter 6. It's the only miracle recorded in all four Gospels other than the resurrection of Jesus. This is the feeding of the 5,000. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said. It's already late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. You see, Jesus began to teach the crowds. In the Luke, when he records his same miracle, it says that Jesus welcomed the crowds. He taught them about the kingdom of God and he healed those who needed healing. And it happened, Mark tells us, because he had compassion for them. He had compassion for them because they were sheep, like sheep without a shepherd. They were wandering aimlessly through life with no understanding of truth, with no purpose, with no, you know, understanding of the kingdom of God and what, who God was and how they could walk with him. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he has compassion on them because they are spiritually hungry. That's why he begins to teach them and heal those who need healing. He begins to do miracles in their midst. And then we see that the disciples have compassion on the people for a different reason. They're physically hungry. There's a big crowd of people here, Jesus. They're hungry. You might be used to wandering through the desert for 40 days without food, but we're not. We need food. And so they had compassion on their physical hunger. And they say to Jesus, send them away so they can get something to eat. You see, all miracles are motivated by loving compassion for people in need. The first ingredient that's needed for a miracle is a problem. It is a human problem that people need solving by God. And there's either the compassion in the heart of the person that's got the problem, or they're surrounded by some people who have some compassion, some loving compassion for them. Miracles are motivated by the loving compassion of God. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians 13. It says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Scripture tells us that faith without love is nothing. All miracles are motivated by loving compassion. And many of us here in this room, we're motivated today for a miracle, for someone that you feel compassion for. Maybe there's someone in your life or in your family that's wandering aimlessly through life. They're like sheep without a shepherd. Or they're a prodigal. They've walked away from Jesus, and you know that it's going to take a miracle to bring them home. That's the compassion of God motivating you for a miracle. There's others of you who've got people that you love or are suffering, you know, sickness or disease in some way, and you feel something of the heart of God for them. You feel compassion. It's motivation to pray for a miracle. Others of you have got, you know, people in your life who need the provision of a job or finances in some way to provide for their families. And you feel for them. You feel something of the compassion of God. You're motivated by love for a miracle. For the last 14 years as a church, we've felt something of the compassion of God, the loving compassion of God for young girls trapped in the darkness of sex slavery. And we've seen miracles. And we're just going to just watch a short story today of Nari's miracle, who stood on this stage a couple of years ago at Christmas. But her story's actually been turned into a documentary that is going to be premiered in Brisbane in just a couple of weeks' time. Why don't you have a look at just a snippet of the story, the miracle that God's done in Nari's life, and just feel the compassion of God.
My heart started pounding as my friend showed me a video. It was explaining about sex trafficking in my country. In the photos, the faces of these girls were blurred, but I noticed one of the little girls had a broken wrist. My heart was beating so fast, my body was shaking. "That's me," I said. "That's me. I'm the one they helped to rescue." My name is Nari. I have six brothers and sisters. I was 6 years old when I lost my freedom. At the age of six, I was sold to multiple men every day for the price of a meal. I grew up thinking it was normal to play with other kids in the brothel and then be bought and sold to a man. Now I know different. Now I know what freedom is. My life is so different today. Back then, I could never have believed it was possible. And now I get to thank the people who were so brave to come and find me. I can't wait to show them what my life is like now.
I think that many people might imagine that when a young woman is rescued out of sex trafficking, that she goes back to live with her family and life just returns to normal. But one of the biggest learnings that we found at Bloom Asia is to understand the depths of the challenges that a young woman has to face after being rescued.
After I start at Bloom, I start to become really good at my job. I was making cakes for many rich and famous people. After a while, Bloom asked me to become the leader of the room and to teach the other girls how to make the sugar flowers. I always ask myself, how can I do my job well? How can I handle this big responsibility of being a leader? How can I grow to be a good role model for these girls? God sees you and has a plan for your life. I am amazed that my wonderful God stirred the hearts of so many people all over the world to help me on my freedom journey. This is my story, but it is not all of my story. I won't be defined by what happened to me. I want other survivors to know that your story is more than what was stolen from you.
For 14 years as a church, we felt something of the compassion of God for girls trapped in the darkness of slavery. And that compassion has moved to action, and God has done miracles in the lives of Nari and many other girls at Bloom. Can we just put our hands together and thank Jesus for what he's doing? If you'd like to see the film, the Friday date that was on the screen is sold out. But if you go onto the QR code in front of you, it'll take you to the link. There's a Wednesday and a Thursday night before that. Nari's going to be there, and it's going to be a testimony of what God has done in the midst of utter darkness. You know, miracles are motivated by loving compassion for people in need. And miracles, the miracle power of God originates from revelation from heaven, not the mind of man. Listen to the disciples' response to Jesus. Or Jesus says to his disciples, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, that would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? The disciples are doing the math. They're working it out with human logic. They're working out how to solve this problem on their own. They're working it out from the mind of man. If we buy everybody a Zinger meal, even that's going to cost us 50 grand. This is not possible for us. We don't have that kind of coin. They're following a formula. And much of our lives, we follow a formula. And most of the time, you know, they work. You know, there's a pretty simple formula for saving money. We don't like it, but it's pretty simple. Spend less than what you earn. It kind of works most of the time. Again, there's a pretty simple formula for losing weight. And we don't really like it. But it's burn more calories than you consume. And it kind of works. There's a formula for making babies. It doesn't work every time, but it's a lot of fun practicing. You know, we live our life by formulas. You know, if I do this and I do this, then this will happen. Miracles from heaven don't follow a formula. Miracles from heaven follow a person who holds the power of heaven in his hands. You cannot will a miracle into being by human effort. You cannot desire a miracle into being by human effort. We need to listen to the voice of Jesus, because miracles originate from the revelation of heaven, not the mind of man. And Jesus simply says to these disciples, well, just give me what you do have. And they obey. They give him 5 loaves and 2 fish. They were not going to think of doing that themselves. They had all sorts of other plans. And in Jesus' hands is a miraculous multiplier. And everyone gets enough to eat. See, I believe Jesus is still a miraculous multiplier. And I believe he wants to multiply miracles in our church in 2024. And one of the ways that miracles get multiplied in a church is when a church grows in confidence in hearing the voice of God and acting in faith in what God says. Let me tell a story that kind of paints me in a bad light, but I think a lot of us will resonate with it. So towards the end of last year, I was going to speak at a conference in another state in Australia, and I was absolutely exhausted, and I just didn't know if I had what it took to go and speak at this conference. And so just before I went, I was sitting in a team meeting here with some of our leaders at Gateway, and I just said to them, please pray for me. I don't think I've got anything left. And they prayed, and God just did what he always does and just began to restore my soul. But just at the end of that prayer time, Andrew Circum, our city campus pastor, said, Jace, this is a bit specific, but I really believe God's saying that there's going to be somebody sitting down the front right-hand side who's an older gentleman with white hair, and God is going to give you a word for that man. But it's not just going to bless him. It's as you share that word, it's actually going to release faith and ministry across the whole conference. It'll be the word for the conference. And so I get on the plane and I'm just praying, God, give me that word. God, I want that word. And I felt like God gave it to me. He just gave me a simple word. I could see myself in the spirit speaking it over this man and then praying for it over the conference. I get into the conference. Sitting down the front row, well, it was a Baptist conference, so he was sitting in the second row, which is as close as the front you get, right? Old man, white hair. And I'm just watching him during the worship time before I get up to speak. And he looks like a lot of you look like in worship. It looks like he doesn't even love Jesus. It looks like he's just bored. He's hardly singing and participating. And in my mind, in my human mind, I'm going, oh God, I think we got this wrong. And I get up to preach, and my human mind had taken over the revelation from heaven that I had, and I didn't give him the word. And at the end of the conference, the very last session, he actually got up to present. And it turns out he does love Jesus. And the word that I had for him almost came spilling out of his mouth in the first 3 sentences. And if I had given it, everybody in the room knew him except me. And it would have released faith and ministry in the room. And it didn't happen. And I got to pray for him at the end and apologize. But my own human mind took over. And so I didn't believe for the miracle. Miracles originate from revelation from heaven, not the mind of man. You can't work it out with earthly logic. And I believe God's going to multiply miracles as his church gets confident in listening to the voice of God. And we're going to do that as we finish the service this morning. Lastly, miracles are activated by faith in God's immeasurable power and abundant generosity. This is what it says at the end of this story. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 2 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. I'm pretty sure the women got to eat too. I'm sorry, ladies, it's just the way they counted back then. But everybody had enough to eat when they gave the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. When everybody had enough, every disciple got a doggy bag to take home. Who likes asking for a doggy bag in a restaurant? Just put your hands up high. Who's too embarrassed to ask for a doggy bag in a restaurant? Yeah, about half and half. You know, we ask for a doggy bag when we order more food than what we're capable of eating. We got it wrong. Do you think Jesus got it wrong? Do you think Jesus didn't know what was needed in this situation? Or do you think the Son of God actually wanted his disciples to walk away with more in their hands than what they offered in the first place? Do you think the Son of God actually knows how to order food and he wanted his disciples to understand that his power is immeasurable and the generosity of our Father in heaven is abundant? It's more than all we can ask or imagine. You see, miracles are activated by faith in the immeasurable power of God and the abundant generosity of God. That's why time and time again, when the disciples were faced with a problem, something that scared them, something that was too big for them, and they come to Jesus in a panic or not knowing what to do, and Jesus' response time and again is, "You of little faith, you of little faith, you of little faith." And yet at the same time, he says to them, even if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, which is kind of one of the tiniest seeds you can get, even if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, "Move from here to there," and it'll get thrown into the sea. And we actually see with Jesus, it's not the size of our faith that matters, but it's our faith in the size of God. It's our faith in the size of God's immeasurable power and his abundant generosity that matters. It's why I believe one of the words for us as a church this year is magnify. God wants us to magnify him, and he wants to increase our faith in how big he is. Because right now in our community and around the world, there are people in need. And many of you feel loving compassion for people in need. You're motivated for a miracle. And we're going to have to step out in faith, just trusting God's voice without enough in our hands. We're not going to have what it takes when we go and ask by faith, when we begin to move by faith, when we don't yet have the answer. He's calling us to a life of faith. He's calling us to step out in faith, believing for miracles when we can't work out how it's going to happen. There's a lot I don't know about miracles. There's a lot I don't understand. And be a bit skeptical of anyone who tells you they've got it all sorted out. Because God is a God of mystery. And the minute he stops being mysterious, he ceases to be God. There's a lot I don't know about miracles. I don't know why some miracles happen and others don't. I don't know why some miracles happen instantly and some take decades. I don't know why some people receive miracles this side of heaven and some people have got to wait to the other side of heaven. But I've decided to base my faith not on what I don't know, but on what I do know. And I want to encourage you to do the same. Base your faith not on what you don't know, but on what you do know. And this is what I do know. When I was 19 years old and stuck in sin and just wandering aimlessly without a purpose, Jesus broke into my life and he just filled me with the miracle of grace and has transformed my life for the last 32 years. You see, this is what I do know. Jesus Christ was the Son of God and he died on a cross to forgive my sins and your sins. And he did rise from the dead on the third day. And life in abundance is possible now and forevermore. That's what I do know. I do know that when I was 13 years old, God turned up and miraculously healed my mom after 2 decades of sickness. I do know that 20 years later, God healed my dad of asthma when he ran around a church auditorium 7 times just believing for healing. What I do know is that Jesus healed my daughter of anorexia when we weren't sure if she was going to live or die. And we to this day have still got no other way to explain that healing in her life. What I do know is that for the last 14 years, girls that have been trapped in the darkness of slavery, Jesus has been setting them free and giving them purpose for the future. And it's restored my faith in the God of miracles today. This is what I do know, church. What I do know is that we're not going to need any miracles when we're in heaven, because Jesus will have come again and made everything right, and it's going to be a good day. But I do know that we need some miracles today. And I believe when a church feels the loving compassion of God for people in need, when a church listens to the voice of God and gets confident in stepping out in faith, in activating it by faith in God's immeasurable power and abundant generosity, miracles still happen today. I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. If you believe it too, why don't you say it with me or type it in the chat? I believe in miracles. I'm going to give you one more turn just in case you didn't get it the first time. I believe in miracles. Come on, one more time. I believe in miracles. I believe God wants to do some miracles today. Why don't we stand to our feet? The team's just going to continue to sing that song over us that he started before. And while they do, just listen. Just listen to what God's saying to you. He might just put faith for a miracle in your heart this morning. Just want to encourage you to take hold of it. It might be just a simple picture. You might actually begin to feel something that someone else is feeling. Whether it's pain in your body or pain emotionally. Sometimes God just gives you a feeling that he wants to meet of someone's need. There might be a scripture he just puts in your heart. It might be, it's just faith. It's just, it's this overwhelming sense of, God, I want to see this particular thing happen. Just begin to listen to him for a moment. Ask him to speak to you. God, by your Holy Spirit, just release your life-giving word in this place. Help us to hear your voice and to walk by faith in it. I pray in Jesus' name. Come on, as the team sings, just let them sing over you for a minute. I believe in you. out miracles in this place today. We were just asking to get Tim and a few others to come down the front. We just asked our prayer team, our pastoral team, just to be praying this week. Just is God giving you faith for a miracle? And they're just going to share just what they've got faith to pray for and believe for this morning. If that's you, as they say it, if that's you, you want to respond by faith. You're saying, yeah, I want that miracle. Can I just encourage you to come down and stand with that person, and they're going to begin praying for you. And we're going to just get other people to gather around, stand with you and pray for you and just see what God does. And then Tim gets somebody else just to share, you know, what they're believing God's saying to them. And if that's you, just come and stand with that person. And we're just going to create some space down the front here for a lot of prayer to happen and a lot of just believing together and crying out together to God for miracles. You can come and join the people that are down here if you love them, you know them, you just want to stand with them. That's fine. Just it can get messy down here. But it's as you hear a word, just come and respond quickly. Don't wait. Just come and gather and let's see what God does.
Jess, what's God been giving you faith to believe for and pray for today?
I just believe that there's people here this morning who have been diagnosed with a long-term condition or illness, whether recently or in the past, and you just kind of resolve to the fact that it's something you're going to live with for the rest of your life. And I believe this morning that God wants to increase your faith, that He sees you and wants to and can heal you.
Okay, if that's you, just come. Just if you want to respond this morning, just come, begin to gather, and we'll get Jess and some others to pray for you. Come on, just start coming. Thanks, Tim.
Hi, mine is Matthew 11:23, naming the mountain, your personal mountain that is a blockage to your belief.
Great. Thanks, Sue. If that's you, just come. You just want to respond. You might not even, you know, fully understand, you know, why God is drawing you here. But he just is, and you want someone to pray for you. Thanks, Helen.
Helen.
I just had the word battle of the mind and torment. It's become a torment. And during worship, I had a picture of like a weed that was growing around people's heads, and it had these roots that were going down, and it was the roots were being bound their hands and bound their mouth and bound their feet and was wrapped around their hearts. And I just felt like the Lord was saying, I'm not just going to cut it. I want to uproot that, and I want to remove that weed to bring full freedom and healing to people. So if that's you and that torment, come forward. And I actually believe there's people online watching who are there online because you are bound by that. You are bound by that torment and that fear and that anxiety. And we just want to release the name of Jesus and the power of Jesus over you.
That's good. If that's you, just come and get Helen's mother to pray for you. Can I just get a few people to stand with Jess over there, just be help out praying as Tim just gets Simon to share?
Simon?
Yeah, just for prodigals to be set free and to return home to the heart of Father God.
Yeah, that miracle of salvation.
That's good. Come on, if God's just putting someone particularly in your heart, just come and just let Simon and others pray for you today.
I just saw chains breaking all over the auditorium. People that are bound with anxiety, fear, depression, whatever the chain is, God wants to set you free today.
That's good. Just come, let Debbie pray for you.
Hey, I saw chains as well. So they were really heavy chains, and I really felt like they represented burdens of the past. And I feel like God is saying this is a new season. Lamentation says that His mercies are new every day, and God's mercy will set you free. And I just feel like if that's you, if you're just holding on to things of the past, God wants to break them for the new future He has for you.
Thanks, Jerrica. Come on, if that's you, just start to come. Just say, God, I want that in my life.
Thanks, Ann.
I think God gave me the impression to pray for those who have skin problems, and the related issue with skin problems.
Brilliant.
It's good. Just if that's you, just come and let Anne pray for you down the front over here.
Just anything to do with the heart, fixing heart problems.
It's good. If that's you, Marcia, just down the front here. Tim and Brad.
Just feel there's freedom to break free from addictions today. So if you feel like you're trapped and keep coming back again and again and again and are trapped by an addiction in your life, I got faith that God's going to break that addiction today.
Yeah, that's good, Brad. Just come and see Brad if that's you today. Don't be embarrassed. Just come and receive.
And lastly, I just felt God impress on me to pray for those who've got estranged kids, families that are no longer whole, I should say. God wants to bring them back together.
It's good. Come on, we're going to, as I said before, feel free to come and pray with some people down here. Maybe you need to respond yourself still. Please do that. Just start to come. But maybe you just need to stand with someone that you know is down here and begin to pray over them. The team's going to lead us in singing. We can sing over them. This is kind of like a prayer. We can pray over people. Maybe you need to pray your own words this morning. Come on, if you need to respond, just come. If you need to pray, come. Let's believe together for God to do what only He can do. Down here, if you got a miracle you're just asking for today, please just come and tap someone on the shoulder. They'd love to pray for you. But maybe God this morning has just put a particular person, or just given you a particular word that aren't down the front, they're somewhere in the pews. Just ask, is it okay if you pray for them? It might be a prayer of encouragement. It might be a prayer for miraculous breakthrough. Just ask God to give you that word, that faith today, that little mustard seed of faith to see mountains move. And just begin to pray for someone. Don't go until you've done what God's put in your heart. Come on, let's just continue to declare it together, church. Come on, just begin to lift your hands and declare our God is a God of miracles. Pray that He'd pour out healing in this place. Breakthrough in this place.
I believe in you.
God, would you continue? Just pour out miracles in this place. Set people free. Heal bodies. God, just new hope. God, may prodigals come home. God, give us faith. God, help us to hear your voice. God, I pray miracles will get multiplied, not just here in this service, but in our workplaces, out there in the wild. May we hear your voice and respond in faith. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, more prayer can happen down the front here if you want some prayer. We're just going to keep praying for people. But can I encourage you, if God does something, if you've got a testimony of God moving in power and miraculous way in your life, please let us know. Ring the office, jump on the website, just hit that prayer button. Let us know you've had an answer to prayer. And just one more thing before people start to go, one of the things we always say here at Gateway, make sure you get a doctor to verify that you've had a miracle of healing. So if you're just believing for God to do something miraculous in your body, make sure you go to your doctor, get a doctor to verify that something has changed and any medicines can change if that miracle's happened. Don't decide to do it yourself. Bless you. See you next Sunday.
Moment just to pray for you guys. I know there was a whole bunch of people in the chat today who were just saying, I need a miracle for so many things. And I know that God hears that. I know that God hears our prayers. I know that God is active. I know that He is working. And I know that sometimes you feel very alone in that. And so I just wanted to take this moment and pray for you. And hopefully I've got also Helen to join us in a minute. She had that word for people online. But let me just pray for you now. Jesus, I pray for everybody in this moment who has just reached out in faith and asked that you would be the way maker, God, that you would break the chains that is holding them back. And there's so many different things, God, that we have on our hearts that we need your hand in. And God, we just stand here surrendered knowing that you are the only one who can make that right. We've tried all these things in our own power, in our own might, but Jesus, you are the one who makes it right in your power, in your name. And we give you all the glory. Amen. Hey, I just want to invite Helen here. She just had a word for online before. And Helen, I'm just wondering if you might be able to pray for us online as well for those people.
Word about just needing freedom and being bound and this torment. And I really did feel that there are people watching online who are there, that you want to be in the building. And I've been there. I've been on the other side. And God feels such love and compassion for you. And I really believe He wants to uproot that, to actually release you into the call that He has, because God has a good work that He is wanting to do in and through you. So let me pray for you. God, will you just pray right now for those who are watching online, whose hearts are just crying out, Lord, that this torment will leave, will be gone in the name of Jesus. God, I just pray right now that they just feel a peace, a supernatural peace like they have never experienced before. God, I pray that you're just going to fill them with a hope, Lord God, to dream again, to believe again, to actually start taking steps of faith, to connect back in, to realize that the gifts that they carry are so needed, Lord. We come against the power of the enemy over them and over their future and over their life and over the call on their life and the gifts that they carry. And God, I just thank you right now that you're going to stir their hearts. Lord, you're going to just pour out a supernatural peace on their sleep, on their dreams, Lord God, that when they wake up, that they're going to lift their eyes and they're going to fix their eyes on you, and that they're going to know, Lord, that they of who they are and who you are, that the truth of who you are and the truth of who they are in you is going to bring freedom. So God, we just release that in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, amen. And I really believe that they're going to testify. I really believe there is going to be incredible power in the testimony that are going to come. We all carry something, and God needs that. So don't be bound. Don't believe the lie of the enemy. God wants to set you free.
Thank you, Helen. I appreciate that. Hey, I just want to reiterate, if you ever need prayer at any time during the week, you'd like to connect with somebody to pray into your life and to stand with you, stand in that gap that sometimes we feel where we maybe don't have the faith on our own, you can connect with me anytime and online at gatewaybaptist.com.au. I would love to be praying with you. We have a prayer team as well that sometimes with your permission, I will share that with, and they'll be praying for you as well. So please connect with me online at gatewaybaptist.com.au, and we would love to be standing with you to pray for whatever it is that you need a miracle for, whether it's big or small. Don't be afraid to shout out and say, hey, I just need somebody to be praying for me in this moment. I hope that you've had a really faith-filled time with us this morning. I hope you have a blessed week walking in the presence of Jesus, knowing that He is with you, He is for you. Be well. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.